Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Zoe, you're back. I'm so happy that I'm not talking to myself.
Oh, well done for holding the fort, mate. What an intense 10 days I had. It was absolutely brilliant, but I didn't feel like I had the headspace to do anything else. Drowning comes to mind.
Do you know what? Even talking on here to myself for like 5 minutes, that is the intro and the out, I was like, how does Zoe speak on radio to herself for like 4 hours? I would not have a clue.
By the end of it, I was so bored of my own voice as well. I was obviously love my job and put 100% into it when I go in to do stuff at heart, and I loved it. But by the Sunday, I was like, oh, just not sure if I can turn any more of the feel good up. I just want to go to bed.
I just want to sleep. Oh,
but yeah, it's so lovely to be back. What a week.
Oh my goodness. What I know. Week. I know. It really has been.
It's been really interesting for both of us, I think. I felt kind of, obviously we're talking about the Black Lives Matter campaign and Blackout Tuesday that happened on Tuesday. This is the first podcast that we've recorded since, you know, the social media campaign and the kind of global campaign that started. And I think both of us kind of want to start this podcast off by saying that we both feel quite uneducated at the moment. And actually it is a subject that we both really want to talk about, and we want to start educating our children about race. But actually, you know, we don't really know what to say at the moment.
So, no, I mean, we're trying to educate ourselves first and foremost before we feel like we can educate anybody else, including our children. I mean, for both of us, since the beginning of the podcast, we've always wanted to have lots of different voices on, and it is absolutely something that's been in our minds. But, you know we've got a responsibility on this platform to hear from lots of different people. And so that is absolutely something that we are, you know, going to look into more and try harder at.
Absolutely. And we're reaching out, and we have been reaching out, for, as Georgia said, for a long time to loads of different people from loads of different backgrounds who've got loads of different thoughts and opinions on it. And we think it would be a really great place to start by getting somebody on who could teach us how to talk to our children about race.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the first point. I mean, you know, Georgia and I could sit here and kind of say, you know, that we're both actively, you know, anti-racist, which we are. Any form of, you know, that kind of conversation that goes on, any comments, you know, we're both very much like, that's a real problem for us. But currently, we don't know even maybe the language around it to use. And I really want, before we do a podcast on it or during the podcast, I really want to be educating myself as well. You know, I spent the majority of my childhood in Kenya. That's where my mum lives.
Yeah.
Never had an issue with, I've never even differentiated colour. I don't see colour. I grew up with colour, loads of different colours, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, it's never even been an issue. But I realise now that it's not really about me at all. This is about the bigger picture, and we have to do something to make a change. So Georgia and I are really going to get on the case with it and open up those conversations. So
yeah, absolutely, definitely. If anyone's got any suggestions of anyone who you think we should, you know, shine the spotlight on, who's got, you know, something interesting to say, then please do message us, and we'll absolutely look into it. So
Yes,
we would love your suggestions.
We would. And today's episode is going to be really nice because it's a Q&A.
It is. We love a Q&A.
Oh, we love it. Are you drinking wine, by the way?
You know what? I'm actually not. I'm drinking peppermint tea. Do you know what? I'll tell you this story now. So on Sunday night, Sunday was my birthday, and Sunday night, James got really, really, really drunk, right?
No, before you carry on with this story, what? Sunday was your birthday?
Yeah.
Are you joking? Why did you tell me?
I probably did, but no, you're really busy over the last 10 days.
And I'm such a terrible friend.
Oh, don't be stupid. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
Well, I'm going to put something out to you today. Can anyone listen that thinks that's fucking weird? Georgia never talks about her birthday, FYI. Why didn't you put something on the grid being like, it's my birthday?
Because I don't know, because I was spending it with my family.
I'm sorry.
Don't be silly. Honestly, please don't be silly. It's fine. But I can't drink because basically on Sunday, me and James got absolutely hammered. James fell asleep in his own sick. And this is so awful. Last night we were doing a workout in the garden, and James said to our neighbours who are really lovely, and they've got a 20-month-old, and the woman's pregnant, was like, "Oh, I'm really sorry if like we were really loud on Sunday, like it was George's birthday, and like we got a bit carried away." And they were like, "Oh yeah, you did wake up Sophia at 1 a.m."
What time did you stay up till, and who was with you?
Well, no, it was so we'd been at my family's house like all day, and then we got home here. We just had another couple over, and we were just sort of sitting in the garden drinking, like had some pizza and just like literally. And it wasn't supposed to be like that. It was meant to just be like dinner and a little catch up. One of them was driving, so it's literally just me, James, and our friend Joe, who were drinking, and James ended up falling asleep in his own sick. So
oh, James. Here's a confession.
That was brilliant.
Also got absolutely, absolutely shit-faced on Sunday night, like to the point where I looked at my watch and it was 9 p.m. and Dozer and I were sitting in the garden. We moved inside. The next time I looked at my watch, it was 3 a.m. And we were, I don't really have very much recollection of what happened between those hours, but I don't remember going to bed, but I did wake up on the bathroom floor, fully dressed.
Oh my God.
Sleep on the bath mat. Like, why don't I just, I'd have to have walked past my bed to get into the bathroom. Why the fuck didn't I just go in my bed? But luckily I had a day off on Monday, so I was like really smug and hungover.
James couldn't even stand up straight for the whole of Monday. But I actually like him when he's hungover. I always forget that. I really like him when he's hungover because he's always really nice to me because, you know, he depends on me so much when he's hungover.
I was going to say, he can't be like smug and smarmy, can he?
No, and he can't make loads of silly jokes and he can't moan at me. In fact, maybe I might try and just ply him with alcohol every day. But let's see.
Okay, well, brilliant. Yeah. There you go. There's our catch up before we get into the Q&A. Percy, thanks so much for sending in all your questions. We're just going to hammer through these and try and get through as many as we can in the next half an hour. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm going to kick off with one from Zoe. How do you cope with the days where you just don't want to be a parent that day? Like Monday for both of us.
You start.
When I really, really, really can't be bothered, I just let the whole routine and all my like little timings that I have in my head and all the things that I feel like I should be doing and just sort of try and forget about it. And I usually, if I really don't want to do anything, I'll be like, let's have a movie day, which basically means let's sit on the sofa under a blanket. Let's not make any food. Let's just order everything in and do that. I think it's like you just sort of have to forget about your own rules that day.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I was just about to say that I think it's really important on those days to give yourself a break, to put no pressure on any form of routine that you've built in or anything that you kind of do day to day. It's just about getting through. So my advice would be, keep it simple and like Georgia said, you know, get the iPads out, get the telly out, put a movie on, chill, just relax, kind of look after you, and also try and take those moments like we talked about on the podcast with Caroline Britton About kind of taking time for you, step out of the room for a moment, take some deep breaths, do some visualization, try and do your affirmations, and just try and think, right, I can do this, even though I really don't want to. I've got this, and it's going to go really quickly. Those days that we've all been there, right, when they're just really shit.
Absolutely,
like, get me out of here, but just get them into bed early, and then have some time for yourself.
Yeah, no, exactly. It is. It's just about taking the pressure off yourself, isn't it?
I also like screaming into a pillow. I feel like that helps.
I'm screaming in my head. I don't seem screaming in a pillow.
This is from Kate. Did you suffer mum anxiety with your little ones not hitting milestones versus other friends' little ones? Oh, God. This is such a big one. We hear this a lot.
It is. Yeah. Definitely. I would say yes. Weirdly, not so much with Axel, even though he was my first. I don't think I was even really that aware of what milestones he should be hitting, to be honest with you. Sure. But with Gigi, definitely. I think a few months ago, I might have posted about her like not crawling or whatever yet. This was, I don't know when it was, but a few months back. And I remember I kept looking back, and not even against friends. It was more to do with against Axel. Like I kept looking back to see, oh gosh, is she, she's not crawling, and Axel was doing this and doing that by this age. And I think, yeah, you can become quite obsessed with where they are, definitely with siblings, like in comparison. And I don't know if that stems from with Axel, mate, I took him to tumble tots and a few things, did maybe a bit more with him. Gigi's been to nothing, no groups, nothing at all. And so I don't know if it stems from that in the back of my mind. Mm. But you do have to remember that every child is like so individual, and they will hit those milestones at different times.
I mean, the worst thing that you can do is ever put yourself up against your friend's kids.
Because,
you know, take Luna, for example. She didn't get her first tooth until she was 13 months old. So much so that somebody said to me, oh, you should probably go and take her to a dentist to get some x-rays. And I was like, no. Like, she's just got no teeth yet. And I really, you know, for a moment, I thought, God, is there something wrong with her? And why hasn't she got any teeth? But then I was like, you know what? She walked really early, you know, so apparently early walking don't develop teeth until a little bit later. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's what someone told me. Probably just to make me feel better. But, you know, as Georgia said, every child is so different, and every child does things at very, very different points in them growing up. So what the worst thing you can do is start pitching them off against your friend's children. You've just got to stand firm that your child will develop as and when.
Yeah, and also if you do have like some, you know, major concerns, then you can talk to your health visitor, and, you know, they see so many different kids, and, you know, if there is a genuine problem, then they can obviously help you. Yeah. But, you know, in our experience, it's usually just kids do different things at different times.
Absolutely. I mean, that mum anxiety, I definitely had it a little bit with Luna and her like comforter, which she still has at bedtime, you know. Also,
so does Axel.
Thing that she sucks the so does Axel. Yeah, exactly. She doesn't have him in the day anymore, but for ages I was like, oh, we've got to get rid of Olfie, we've got to get rid of the cup. And then I thought, no, we don't have to. She's not taking it, you know, which even if your little one is taking it to nursery, that's fine. But for us, you know, we've got our rules around it which work for her and work for us. That's fine. Let her have it. That's her best friend. She said to me last night, no one will ever be a special friend to me as Olfie.
That's nice. And Axel had a bottle before bed till he was three. Like literally, well, maybe, just before Gigi was born. So almost three. Like that. And, you know, most of the books will tell you you shouldn't have one at like one or something, but there was no issue with it. So I think you just got to do, you know, do what you do and just concentrate on you and your child.
Agreed.
As hard as it is, because I do know that it's hard. when have you chosen to start nursery and why? This is weird, because this is what we were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
I had to put Luna into nursery when she was really little, because both Dozer and I were working, and we also wanted to sort of integrate her with other children, and she loved it. There was never any problem. I mean, it was me that was like blubbering at the door when I had to say goodbye to her, but she settled in quite quickly. Kit, who's just turned two, only went to nursery when he was about I think he went for about 3 months when he was about 8 months old, and he hasn't been since. So actually, he probably doesn't even know a time where he has to kind of leave us and go. And actually, today, Luna is starting another preschool, because obviously she had to stop going to her other one. So she's starting one locally to the new house that we just moved into. And she starts in September. She's going for 4 days, which is amazing. And Kit is going to go for a day with her. And they take them from 2.5. So I'm actually really
over
a little local village one. And it's really lovely. And I went round it before, weirdly, with another friend of mine who sends their child there. So I've seen it, but I can't wait to go with both of them. And I think it'll be really lovely for them both to be in the same kind of preschool environment and in a class together. Kit is more than ready. Like, she was like, oh, you know, is he confident enough? And I was like, oh, absolutely. Like, he's to get out of here. So I think it depends on the child, but also for you, if you feel like you need some space, regardless of whether you're, you know, having to trek into town for your career or you're full-time at home, whatever, even if you just need a day to yourself, put your child in the nursery.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because Axel and Luna were going to the creche from what, like 12 weeks old?
12 weeks old.
And then, so we were used to leaving them every day for an hour pretty much. So they got used to being passed to, you know, to somebody else. And then when we moved back to London, I went back to work full time to begin with. And Axel went to nursery at, I think it was 11 months for 3 full days. And then just continued in nursery ever since, really, until now. Yeah. But Gigi is really weird because I don't obviously know what my work situation is yet. And I can't even go and look around nurseries for her. And I've got this in my mind. Axel went at 11 months. See, there we go again, the whole comparing thing. Axel went at 11 months. She's got to go at 11 months because, you know, he's been fine, you know, going into different settings. So she's got to do it. But I don't know yet. We'll just have to wait and see. I would like her definitely to go to a nursery, you know, this year before Christmas, just for some time for myself, and also for her as well. I think it's really good to socialize with other kids and get used to a different environment, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, completely agree. Foods that you guys choose to avoid to stay healthy. I mean, listen, I kind of don't particularly like talking about kind of diets and foods. I just think everybody is so individual, but I'll tell you what we do. We just eat really clean. So we just keep it really simple. We're not, you know, I'm not a big, as you know, I'm not a big chef. So I wouldn't be making like a big old lasagna because I just firstly don't know how to make it. And secondly, for me, that would just be a bit too heavy from what I can deal with in my digestion. I've had really bad IBS. There's certain foods that I can't tolerate, like wheat and dairy and various other things. So for us, it's like we just keep it really simple. You know, it's either fish and veg, chicken and veg, you know, loads of couscous, brown rice, stir fries, sushi. I just keep it really simple. Don't get me wrong. On Monday, I ate 2 pizzas, a bowl of crunchy nut cornflakes and a packet of Haribo. So we all have our days where we completely fall off the wagon. But I think the best advice is if it falls from the trees or you can grow it in the ground, eat it.
Yeah, it's fine. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't particularly avoid any foods, but I do not, like, if I want to feel a bit lighter, then I always just cut out bread because I know I probably really shouldn't eat it. But I like it.
So nice.
But that's it. I think, yeah, it is really nice. But that's the only way I ever feel a bit better is by cutting that bread out. But it's everyone's body's different, isn't it? So some people can probably tolerate bread and stuff like that, and some can't. So
agreed.
Yeah.
Do what makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to take
that? If you could choose only 3 beauty products to live with, what would they be?
Oh God, that's such a hard question.
It's really hard right now because I was thinking about this. I don't even think I know how to put makeup on my face anymore. I don't even know what I do. It's been that long. So
I would choose the Elemis cleansing balm.
Oh yeah, I like that.
That you use with a hot flannel. Georgia got me onto this actually. She's converted me because I used to take my makeup off with makeup pads or like wipes, which is probably not very good, and now I use a boiling hot flannel and this amazing cleansing balm, which is just like, Oh, it's beautiful.
So nice.
Isn't it? Yeah. That would be one.
It is so nice.
The other one would be my retinol Murad night cream, which is really good for pigmentation and fine lines. And the other one would be my Charlotte Tilbury Penelope Pink lipstick.
Oh, yeah. Actually, do you know what? That instantly reminds me of you.
Yeah.
Mine would be the Ren Evercalm Cleanser. I think I've spoken about this so many times. It's the only thing that has sorted out my skin, that doesn't irritate my skin, that calms it down. I just love it. Again, I use it with a hot flannel. Second would be hyaluronic acid, but I use the Beauty Pie one at the moment, but it really could be any. I think the Ordinary yeah. D one, which is really reasonable as well, just because I think my skin just looks so much more hydrated when I use it. Yeah. And the last one would be the Maybelline Eraser Concealer. And I don't know if you remember, but Megan Stevens, when she came on the podcast, she recommended it to us. And since then, I think I bought it on the way back from the podcast studio in Superdrug, and I've never been without it since.
Never looked back, have you?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's like $8.99 or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Benefit also do a really nice under eye concealer. Which Mother Pucker and Anna Whitehouse got me on using, which is quite similar to that one. It's a little bit more expensive than the Maybelline one, but it gives amazing coverage. And can say the Laura Mercier?
Oh yeah, Secret Camouflage.
Secret Camouflage. Yeah, you've said yeah. It. Too drunk to speak.
It's brilliant.
I'm not. we go to a fashion one. Your favourite fashion go-to pieces to make you feel good?
A blazer, I guess, to be put together. I think if you've got a nice blazer. In fact, I've had this cape. It's like a cape blazer. It's blazer material, but it's actually a cape for, I think, about 8 years. It's black. And every single time that I don't know what to wear, particularly when if I was going to meetings and stuff with work, I would just put that on and it would go with leather trousers, jeans, white t-shirt, whatever. That always made me feel really put together.
Georgia and I did some filming for River Island in their style studio. If you go onto our IGTV, you can see the little video that we did, and we kind of did three ways to wear a blazer. Blazers are so versatile. You can wear them with a really amazing boyfriend t-shirt. You can wear them with high-waisted jeans, skinny jeans, straight leg jeans, mum jeans, any bloody jeans you can find. And then you can like put a hoodie underneath it. If you're doing a school run, you can do so much with a blazer, a great blazer.
Yeah, get definitely one. Blazer.
So we'll be back right after this.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Now, where were we?
Can you recommend a brand for baby's first walking shoes? Bobucks, yes.
Yeah, Bobucks are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they are really, really good. I think you have to be really careful with first walking shoes because yeah. I think I bought Axel like Vans or something and they were too heavy.
Yeah, you kept falling over, didn't he?
Yes, not good. Really not good.
Bobucks are really good. Clarks do some really nice ones as well. Unless your kid has got really wide feet like Kit's, because it just didn't work for us. But yeah, those two brands are really good for like a starting point.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. Yeah, they've got to be comfortable and they've got to fit right. I think that's the most important thing, isn't it?
They're not too heavy. Don't get like Dozer bought Kit a pair of Air Force Ones. I was like, hey, he's like got a couple of bricks on his feet. He's never going to be able to walk in those. Hello to Amandine. That might be her name, or it just might be
Amandine.
How to deal with swing mood and emotion as a mama?
We both know about this actually, don't we?
Do you want to start?
I think firstly, you've got to be really honest with how you feel in the first place. So I'm really bad at this. If I wake up in a bad mood, I won't say anything. I won't say, oh, do you know what? I'm really not feeling great today. Like, or you know, I'm about to come on my period, so I might be a bit, I just don't feel right. I never say it, and it takes me like to blow to then say it. So I think if it's particularly with like your partner, I would say, oh, do you know what? I'm really not feeling myself today. So apologies, you know, like if I seem a bit off, it's not you. It's just, I'm just not feeling that great. That's, I guess for me, that's what works.
Yeah, I love that from you. Communication, absolutely key. If you're feeling like that, the worst thing that you can do is bottle everything up.
Yeah.
Say nothing or try and pretend to be something that you're not, you know.
Yeah.
We need to honour the good and the bad emotions. And if there is, you know, a particular, you don't even know you've got a funk, like I think a lot of us have experienced this during lockdown, you wake up and you don't know why you feel awful, but you do, and you can't shake it. I think absolutely talking, yeah. If you don't have a partner, talk to your, pick up the phone and tell your best friend, your mum. If your partner's there, really talk it out with them and just say, look, I don't need fixing. I don't need a solution, but I just need you to know this is how I'm feeling. Yeah. My mood swings all over the place. I'm feeling really emotional. Whatever it is, try and identify that part of it. And at least then you've got it off your chest. They know where you are, because we've had this thing this afternoon where we were having this really lovely walk. Luna suddenly started throwing a tantrum because she was exhausted because she's dropped her nap. And Dozer just lost it and then like didn't talk and just ruined the whole afternoon. And I feel really upset with him because I'm like, just when I said, are you okay? He went, yeah, you okay? You've already asked me if I'm okay twice in the last 10 seconds. And I'm like, all right. I'm trying to make sure that you're okay. It's like that's a classic case of somebody that cannot communicate properly when it comes to those moments. So definitely try and talk.
Yeah, definitely. I've been so guilty of that in the past. And actually lockdown has taught me to do that, because you can't get away from, you know, you can't get away from whoever you live with. So you've got no option but to speak up.
Yeah, some people don't like doing it, but I love a good old chat.
No, it is really, really good. I've learned that from you, actually, Zoe. It is good to do that.
Tell us more about your personal life, family upbringings,
etc. Love you both.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know.
How long have you got?
Exactly. In a nutshell, I spent the first few years of my life in Portugal. Then we moved back to Southeast London. I lived there till I was 20. Then I moved in with James, my husband. We moved to Scotland. We've lived in Manchester. We've lived in Somerset. We've lived in Cheltenham. And that's sort of how it is. I'm very close to my parents, which I think if you followed us for a while, you'll know.
That's an only child thing right there.
It is because James calls it OCS. He goes, oh, that's our OCS coming out. Only child syndrome coming out.
I love James.
I do like my own space, yeah. So
you like your own space apart from your parents and your children, then you need them around you the whole time.
Yeah.
James needs space from, basically. Hi, James. He always listens every week.
From James.
I mean, it's really hard, isn't it, to say, but I spent the first 8 years on and off in Kenya, and where my dad was doing a lot of work. Then we moved back to the UK. I was brought up in Kent. I went to a grammar school down there. I studied theatre studies at school for my A-levels. Then I moved to London, decided that I wanted to be a TV presenter, worked on the reception of a TV production company, and somebody came in and said, you should be a TV presenter. And I was like, funny you should say that, actually. Then I applied to be on a show that was filming out in Mexico, which I then got when I was 20, which was on Channel 4. It was like back in the days when we only had 5 channels. The show did really well. And I joined an agency that I'd wanted to be with since I was really young, and kind of started my TV presenting career. And then, met Dozer when I was like, don't flash forward like 15 years, met Dozer, had the kids, and now I live in Surrey. I also really love Ibiza, in case you don't know.
That's the end goal.
We can talk about it. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's like a dating question, but I feel like I need to be sitting in front of this this lovely lady and drinking a glass of wine with her, and then we'll tell you everything.
It's really hard to like to summarize everything, but there we go. That's a little bit exactly. Maybe yeah.
How to go from a bottle to a sippy cup, and at what age? My 10-month old has full meltdown each time I try. Oh my god! First of all, I just want to say, Kit is two years and 1 month, and he still has his milk from a bottle every evening before his bed. And I don't have a problem with it at all. And probably people listening think that's really bad. He doesn't have a problem with it. He's only having the milk. He has soy milk as or oat milk as like a comfort thing. And I don't see the problem. He drinks from a sippy cup all day long and a big cup with two hands. And it's like, it's just the thing.
So that's what I was going to say. Axel was the same. Axel is almost three. So bottle to sippy cup, firstly, don't worry about it too much because they'll grasp it when they grasp it. Yeah. But I guess the best time to introduce it is like during the day when there's not, when they're not tired, when there's not, you know, anything else going on. I think daytime after, you know, after they've woken up from their nap or whatever. Yeah. I started giving Gigi a, in fact, you know what? She actually drinks from like a sports bottle now. But probably from 7-8 months, I started sort of giving it to her. But that's because Axel was there, you know, and she wanted his one. So, I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself with that, and just do it, when they're not tired, I guess.
Yes, exactly. And, like, absolutely, they'll pick it up as and when. Yeah. They're just, as long as they're drinking water from whatever outlet, from the tap, from the bath, whatever, don't worry about it. Yeah. You'll get there.
There's loads of questions about two under two, small age gaps, and debating having another child.
Yes.
So maybe we should just put these all into one.
Yeah.
Small age gap, though.
I mean, there's so many positives to a small age gap, in as much that they interact with each other so well, they play together so well, the bond with them is incredible. Since we've moved into the new house, when Isla's not here, Luna wants to sleep in Kit's room on like the IKEA day bed that we make up for her. So as like a couple of little brothers and sisters, they are just, oh my god, they love each other so much.
They are so sweet together.
1 year apart at school, you know, because Luna's going to be really old, and yeah, they'll just be a year apart. How meg is that? They're gonna be so tight. And they are so tight.
So Luna will go into reception, and then the year after, Kit will.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, so I never even thought about that. That's mad, isn't it?
Luna starts good, though. September 2021, and Kit starts September 2022. That's it. Bang. I know. Wow. I don't know what to think about it. So the small age gap, definitely a really positive thing. Also, let's be honest, fucking exhausting in the beginning. I literally thought that I was going to pass out for the first 9 months of Kit's life because I was so tired. You cannot get any respite. I think it definitely affected for how long I breastfed as well, because, you know, obviously first time round, I kind of had the space and time to breastfeed and just sit and put my feet up. But when Kit came along, Luna was 18, 19 months old and was just running around like a lunatic. So I just, you know, pros and cons. At least it's done. We're kind of getting our lives back now.
Yeah, and I guess accept all the help that you can. You know, if you've got people around you who can help, you know, and take the older one out, you know, to the park or to wherever just for a couple of hours here and there, that always helps. Having another child, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but this is how I feel. I was set on having one child. I was more than happy. OCS, only child syndrome. like more than happy. And then obviously I fell pregnant with Gigi, and I think I've spoken quite openly about how unsure I was, and I just didn't know if I was that sort of person, I guess, to have two children and try and juggle all of that. But I just think it's been the best thing. It's been amazing. But you'll never regret having another child, but you might regret not having another child.
Yeah, well said.
And that's what I always say to like all my mates who are, you know, thinking about having another one. I think you can look back and think, oh, I wish I'd have had a sibling for, you know, for my son or daughter. But you won't look back and, well, unless they like turn out to be, I don't know, like an axe murderer or something, you'll never look back and think, I wish I hadn't done that, would you?
No, I think that's right. George and I can't really sit here and tell you when the right moment is or whether you should or not. That, I mean, obviously that has to come from you. But as G said, when you see the bond between the two of them, you will know it will be the right thing at that moment, you know, because it's like, it's just an unbreakable love. And I'm so grateful during lockdown that there's two of them and three of them half the time, because they all just play together. So it takes you to put your feet up and have a cup of tea every now and again.
No, it is true. It is true. That'll happen for me one day, I'm sure.
We've only got a few minutes left. So I just wanted to kind of go down to Kerry's message, which is, how can we expose our kids to more diversity? My son is 9 months and I want to start. Kerry, we touched on this at the beginning of the podcast, but George and I are going to be doing a lot of research over the next, you know, coming months to try and figure out a way to educate our children and ourselves more, and, you know, the right books to be reading.
I was going to say, at a really young age, I think it's about having, you know, like a really diverse book collection with lots of different characters in it that they can relate to, I think. Yeah. That's obviously a good place to start.
We used a potty training book with Luna, and there was a little girl on there, and it's called Once Upon a Potty by an author called Alona Frankel. And there was a little girl of colour in that book, and, you know, she had this amazing hair, and, you know, it was just this really beautiful journey, and it showed a different kind of look on things that maybe I'd been exposing Luna too before for some reason. And she loved this book. It was her favorite book. She took it everywhere with her, and she still loves it now. So I think, like Georgia said, it's really key that we kind of mix up those bedtime books to kind of show all walks of life. We're going to be doing lots of work on it and making sure that we know exactly what to say. I mean, who knows exactly what to say? We're going to try.
Definitely. Are we doing one more?
Yeah, go on, G.
Oh, there's two. There's one, if you won the lotto, how would you spend it? Just for fun. Such a good question. I love that. But anyway, advice on going back to work, dreading going back in September and leaving my baby in daycare. Gosh, it's always really, really hard. It is hard. Any change in life is always hard. But I think if you're comfortable with where you're leaving your baby, and you know you've done all the settling in and all that kind of stuff, so you don't have that worry, and you just focus on you and making sure you're okay with it, and it does get better. In fact, you might even start to enjoy the space and enjoy the time to yourself. But it is difficult.
It's really hideous the first few weeks. Months maybe are awful, and the pain that you experience sometimes in when you leave your baby for the first time to go to work, you're like, I'm a fucking terrible mother, how can I be doing the mum guilt, the countdown to when you can get back to them. I went through it. I used to cry driving myself down to London to do my radio show, howling the whole way down and just like racing back to get back to her. But, you know, this time around with Kit, I figured it's really important to show my children that I love my job. And when Luna says to me, oh, mummy, please don't go to work, she still says it, please don't go to work. And I say, but mummy loves her job. Mummy's job is really important to me as a person. And I was like, and hopefully one day when you're older, you'll love your job too. And it's talking to them and using that language around it as well. Not like, oh, I have to go to work. No, you do need to go to work. Therefore, feel proud of your decision, stand in your own power and be like, this is for me, I need this. And financially, we have to do it as well. It's not a selfish thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
If you go back to work, go for it. Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, not easy.
No, it's not easy, but you'll definitely get there, and it gets so much better with time, definitely.
I've just got to do this one quickly. Megs, any tips you found for sleep regressions, early wakings? Megs, me and you need to go out and get absolute shit-faced together. I am in early wake-up hell at the moment, and it is going on and on and on and on. And this morning, it was 12 minutes past five, I absolutely lost it. I was like, right, back to sleep. 12 minutes past five. five. That's not even a time. That's the time I like to go to bed after a session.
Do you know what? I actually got up at 4:45 the other day, off my own back, because I was awake, and I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to get up. I'm just going to get up, and I actually loved it.
Once, because you've chosen to, not every morning I get pulled.
I was going to spot, I'm just going to lead on, but sitting downstairs looking out the window, the amount of parents I saw walking past between 5 and 7:30 was unbelievable. I said to James, I was like, there's a whole nother world out there. There are so many parents walking the streets between 5 and 7:30, you would not believe. So you are absolutely not alone. It was so funny.
A couple of people that you might want to check out: Alison Scott Wright, we've worked with her before, she's got a really amazing book that might help you. Lucy the Sleep Nanny on Instagram, she is fantastic as well. And
baby sleep guru,
Guru. Yeah, she's amazing.
She's great.
But to be honest with you, George and I do not have the magic answer for that. And if you find it, anybody, please message us.
Yeah, please. Yes.
Help me.
Can you hear the desperation?
We need to get going. We need to say goodbye. But we're going to do another one of these in about a month's time. We'll try and do one once a month for you, because there were loads of questions that we didn't manage to get through. So apologies for that. But obviously, if you want to send them to us directly, we might also think about doing a live over the next couple of weeks between Georgia and I, just to answer those questions that we didn't get around to.
Yeah, definitely, because there were loads this time around that we couldn't quite get to. But do look out for more podcasts to come, and do send them in again, because we'll try and get to them.
Definitely.
But yeah, we're going to be back on Tuesday.
We're going to be back
with another amazing guest.
And we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you're not following us on our Instagram at Made by Mamas, please do so. And you can also send me a message at Zoe Hardman as well. And we'll see you Tuesday. Georgia, you've fallen off.
See you Tuesday, everyone. It's too late for me. It's 8:00. It's past my bedtime.
See you Tuesday. Have a lovely weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We know times are very difficult right now. And if you want any more information about coronavirus, go to nhs.uk/coronavirus.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.